Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello and welcome. It's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and I'd like to welcome you to the 25th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you valuable information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So plan on joining us each week. I'd like to just spend a little time with the wisdom of a very green personality. This is Kermit the Frog, and he says, "If it's important to you, you will find a way. If it's not, you will find an excuse." So as we look at our dynamics of change and the cycles of change and change happening, sometimes change is unwanted or unwelcome or unexpected. Sometimes it's very welcome and expected. So what can we do to make this a very good process of conscious change, knowing that it's going to happen anyway? It's kind of like the weather. There's not much you can do about it. So let's go ahead and make change our friend to the best of our ability. I was listening to a TED Talk here just the other day, and I listened to a woman named Mel, and she talked about if you're going to have a different life, you have to step out of the routine. You have to step out of the habits that your nervous system creates. So if you remember from last week, we talked about the nervous system creating habits or habituated behavior to be more energy efficient, and yet you're designed for change. You're designed to be neuroplastic. We also went through the cycles of change, pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and termination. So what are those cycles, and how do you work through them? Being very aware and very conscious to make the change that you would like to have. Well, we talked a little bit about sympathetic and parasympathetic, and Mel talked about them as habits and a break, that if you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, you will sometimes move to the part of the brain that puts the brake on and it stops all progress. She talks about the application of force. Well, I wouldn't necessarily use that word. I've sat with that a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily use that word. But what is it that you can do to get yourself up out of bed in the morning? What inspires you? What changes would you like to have starting today? And if you remember, we've talked about the effects of thought on our nervous system, the effects of thoughts on our stress levels, thought management, cognitive behavioral therapy with changing some of our words. You can do this with change as well. So let's talk just a little bit about
the stages of conscious change: pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and termination. And that pre-contemplation is where you're not even fully aware that your subconscious is acting upon something. And I remember one time I was trying to figure something out. I was trying to use my brain. I was trying to get into a why this was happening, or why was this happening at this point in time. And I was whying myself all over the place. Well, it really wasn't working well for me to do the why of something, because that just kind of takes you down the rabbit hole, and it has your brain and your mind searching your beliefs, searching your knowledge base, and coming up with a plausible story to support what you'd like to believe about a situation or a change that is happening anyway. So that's very constrictive in its nature, which is highly sympathetic. And you'll go back to habituated meanings and habituated beliefs, and you'll try to slap them on and try to make them fit. And I think last week I talked about trying to fit your foot into a shoe that was about 3 sizes too small. When you've truly outgrown something, you can't fit yourself back into the smallness and the constriction that that was. So pre-contemplation means that you've asked a question, or you've tried to look at something different, or you've endeavored to see how you can do something better in your life. Contemplation is having it move up to conscious level, beginning to spend a little bit more time with it in different ways, maybe even doing some research on the internet to see what all this might involve. Then preparation. You've decided that this is a good change to have, and you'd really like to move into this well prepared, ready to go, and knowing as much as you want to know to make this change. Action. Until you actually do something different, or create something, or manifest something, which is the how of something shows up. So you manifest a picture. I've been taking some art classes here, so there is not a picture when I walked into the room to learn how to paint. There was a picture when I walked out. And it isn't until you actually do something and bring it into the very physical or real or dynamic activity of an action that you can look at it and get some feedback and do some corrections, an action feedback correction. So there's a almost a level in the action phase that has more than simply doing an action as a part of it. Then you move into maintenance. Well, I don't need to do anything with the painting now. So actually, I can skip the maintenance phase and I can move into termination. And I've got the picture hanging on my wall. I'm looking at it as I'm talking to you right now. So that's how you make the cycle of change. The picture was not in my life until I went and did it. So where does the saboteur fit in all of this? I'll tell you, it's very interesting. The saboteur usually comes in between the transition from one state or one phase of change to another. So when I'm in pre-contemplation and I haven't made a decision and I haven't chosen to do anything, I'm just kind of sitting with it, the saboteur doesn't come up, because obstacles don't usually come up until you've made a decision or a choice. So while I was thinking about taking this particular painting class, there aren't any obstacles. There aren't any things to overcome. I'm just thinking about it. So I'm not doing anything that the saboteur can really come in and make a big deal about it, unless it's, well, you really don't want to do that because you're not a very good artist. That may be as bad as far as the saboteur can go, and that's when the discussion is, well, I don't know, I haven't tried this. So if I'm moving in from pre-contemplation to contemplation, not a whole lot, because a decision and a choice, improvement and focus and intention and awareness hasn't become a part of this recipe, really. It's just an idea that's floating around somewhere. when I move from contemplation to preparation, you almost do have to take an action. You have to move out of that airy, fazy, wavy dynamic and bring it into a more particle, bring it into a more solid dynamic. And by choosing that and making that conscious decision and that conscious choice, that's the opportunity then for obstacles to come up. Maybe you tell yourself you can't afford it, or it's too long a drive, or you won't know anyone in class, and it's just going to be too hard for you to go. And you would rather do anything that you're comfortable doing than to take the step of showing up in class, especially when you don't know what to expect. So you move back into preparation, and maybe saboteur steps in and starts whispering in your ear, and your itty-bitty committee gets louder and louder and louder. And this is similar to what we talked about, too, with the unknown fear that comes up. You have unknown fears, such as, for one instance, the fear of needles that I have. I actually went in and had a blood draw today, and the fear of needles is not active until I'm going to the laboratory with sweaty palms and shaking hands going, I really don't like this, I really don't like this. That decision to have that done and that action of going in and sitting in the chair and having a needle stuck in your arm, it doesn't live in my everyday being. So it's a one if you ask me about it on an everyday basis. But boy, the high sympathetic activity begins when I've been directed to go have a blood draw. That's when all of a sudden saboteur, all kinds of information and fears come up, and they begin to run my nervous system. And I lose a little bit of my awareness and my consciousness. So I move into action. I go to the laboratory. I stand at the window. I give them my information with my palms sweating and my hands trembling. And at that moment, I could say, you know, I really decided not to do this test. I'm going to leave. However, my change is that I want to have some information that this blood test is going to give to me so that I can make some healthier changes and healthier choices in my life. That's my conscious intention. That's my conscious awareness. So I'm not going to sabotage that. I'm going to actually do the action of sitting in the chair and having the blood drawn. Again, there's no maintenance with this. So I move right into termination. I get up off the chair, I walk out the door, and I'm done with it. And I haven't spent any time with it during the course of the day going, boy, that was really scary, or reliving it. It was done. I'm finished with it. I moved on. So when you recognize those phases and you can be really clear about these stages of change and these cycles of change, you do have some authority over how you are with the nature of change. So I'd like to remind you all that change happens and you can manage it pretty well. So the saboteur fits in at any of these levels. It can come in once a decision's made, or it can come in very near the finish line when you're ready to move into maintenance. And then you decide, oh my gosh, I can't do this. It's not worth it. I'm going to just drop it right now and walk away. Some of that saboteur energy as well. All right, well, we're coming up on a break. Before we take our break, I'd like to let you know that I'm going to be doing a Calm Moms webinar on May 26th at 2 o'clock Mountain Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. I will get the information out in the episode description so that you can go to Easy Webinar and you can sign up. And I have a special treat for you. Next week, we're going to have a special guest. Her name is Carol Chapman, and she and I have never met in person, but we do a lot of work online together, and we do changes together. We actually work on changes, and we support each other through changes. She's going to talk to us a little bit about some of the projects she's doing and public speaking and some of the fears of public speaking, and in that, we'll work in some more information for you, some more ideas, so that you can, again, create some of the conscious changes that you would like to have and not keep letting fear hold you back. So we're going to break for a quick commercial about the Calm Moms. I'll remind you again that the audio is not a part of this offer right now. It will be available in the very near future. See you in just a few seconds.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. So I was discussing Carol Chapman, who's going to be my guest next week, and she said there's two kinds of people that prepare differently for a speaking event. Which one are you? Isn't that interesting? I hadn't thought of it in that way, so I'm really looking forward to having her on the show and having her share her knowledge and information with you. She's just such a wonderful woman, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to her talk to us about the fear of public speaking. Let's come back to, can I make changes easily and natural? Well, remember, you are choosing your changes based on awareness, whether it's conscious awareness or not. Change is happening all the time. It's inevitable. So it's what you do with it that makes the difference. And to make change easy and natural, you want to move out of that high sympathetic behavior of constriction, of asking why, of judgments and conclusions, all based on this is a good change or a bad change, this is a right change or a wrong change, this is a change for the better, this is a change for the worse. Those are judgments and conclusions. And we've learned in the process of thought that you will actually mirror and make your inside environment and exterior environment match your state of being with change. So if you've decided it's a bad change, it's going to be very challenging for you to find something good about the change. That's all you'll see is the bad, the bad, the bad, the bad, the bad. And I'm reminded that when I'm in class and I have my students put on different color glasses, their perception changes with the filters that they've put on with the glasses. And they see colors in different ways and they see movement in different ways based on the color of the lenses or the filters of the glasses they're wearing. So if you've put on change is bad filters, that's your experience, and your nervous system will follow what you've asked it to do. Change is bad? Okay, how bad do you want it to be? And change is a part of your parasympathetic nervous system. Growth, learning, change, love, healing, thriving, all of those are a part of your parasympathetic nervous system. So when you're judging change as bad or
unnatural or unwanted, you're closing yourself off from the whole of who you are. You're only living through one small perspective that keeps you locked in and stuck. When you begin assigning new meaning to changes and looking for the good in the change, that then becomes your experience. Remember the statement, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So how do you make change more easy and natural? You can begin asking questions, not why did this happen, but what's good about this change that I'm not getting? What's fun about this change that I'm not getting? What wonderful opportunity does this change have for me? And when you begin asking the questions, you begin moving out of high sympathetic behavior, sabotage behavior, negativity, bad emotions, conclusions, and judgments, and you begin opening up to new possibilities and new ways of thinking and new ways of being with a change that's happening, okay? So does change have to be stressful? Yes and no. Change doesn't have to be stressful, but it will cost more energetic currency. I've used this example before, but I'll bring it up again. When you change a light switch, and lefties, to the wonderful people that are left-handed people, the world really is set up for right-handed people. We're just not fully aware of it. But say we have a light switch in a certain place in a room, and you don't have to think about where it is when you go in to turn it on. It's just there. But say you remodel the room, and your door opens a different way, and you move your light switch over to the other side of the door. Now you have to think about it. It's not a right position or a wrong position or a bad position or a good position. It's simply the new position. So now you have to think, where is that light switch? And until you habituate turning on the light switch in the new location, it takes a little bit more energy. It takes a little bit more thinking. And sometimes some people perceive that as stressful. It's just increasing your awareness around what it is that you're doing at any given point in time. So how does it get any better than this? I just love that question. That's a question to ask about your changes as well. So, for instance, in the TED Talk the other day, she said, you do have to make a decision and you have to change how you're doing things to create the changes that you'd like in your life. She said, if you get up and you play the snooze button, just 10 more minutes, just 10 more minutes, just 10 more minutes, that becomes a habit. What if you looked at that behavior and you said, how does it get any better than this? You have to make a change. You have to choose something different. You have to know that there are options and opportunities open to you. One of the things that I did, and this sounds a little kooky, but it's very effective with change. Instead of setting my alarm for 7 o'clock in the morning, I set my alarm for 6:52. It's an odd time. You look at the clock. It doesn't say 7 o'clock, which is your habit. It says 6:52. And then instead of hitting the snooze button, I have moved my clock very far across the room. So I have to stand up and go over and hit the snooze if I'm going to do that. Well, by then, I'm already up, so I might as well get up and be up anyway. So if I want to change how I'm getting out of bed in the morning, change my level of enthusiasm, change how it is that I want to face the day from the very first moment that my eyes open, I have to do something different than what I've been doing. So set your alarm clock for a weird time and then make a choice to move your clock far away so that you have to get up to hit the snooze button anyway. That's how it gets better than this, okay? So you can make some of the changes. Sometimes we lose people in our lives. Sometimes unwanted things happen. If you begin asking the questions, how does it get any better than this, or what else is possible, you begin exploring the natural wholeness of who you are with your sympathetic and your parasympathetic, with your optimism and pessimism, with your habituated thinking and habituated meanings, and you get to move out of where you've been stuck and into a whole new perspective of how things are. Now, recently we have had some earthquakes in Nepal. I find this absolutely fascinating because when I was growing up, that wouldn't have been a newsworthy item at all. But with the more global communities that we are and that we're reaching, now it's newsworthy. And people know people who live in Nepal. And it's not this far away, distant country that no one understands. There are people from my small community of 6,000 people that have been to Nepal several times. So we've become more global, and this is a cycle of change. So our behavior will change based on the changes that we've made and created in our lives. All right. Again, I'll come back to Kermit's quote, our little green happy frog. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. If not, you will find an excuse. I'd like to remind you again of the easy webinar that's going to be going on 5 May 26th at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. I will have the link in the show description, so you can just click on that and get registered. It's a Calm Moms webinar. I'd also like to thank all of you who have gone on Amazon and purchased some of my guided imageries and meditations. I really appreciate that and hope that you find them to be of very good value. Remember, next week we're going to have a guest, Carol Chapman, and I'd like for you to make one conscious change this week. And if you'd like to, you can email me at info@makingshiftshappen.com about how you move through the stages and how you recognize what they were and some of the obstacles you encountered once you made a decision to create a conscious change and what tools or what things you did to manage those obstacles, okay? That's all for today's show. I am going to be heading off here in a little bit to go to a program at my grandson's elementary school. It's the end of the year show that they put on, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him do this. He is such a character. We had such a great time on Mother's Day, and I had a great time with my son, and my youngest son and I got to Skype and talk. It was just a great Mother's Day, and I'm so very grateful to my children and my grandchildren on so many different levels. What is a tool that you can use? Well, we know that you can drink plenty of water, you can belly breathe, and ask questions. How does it get any better than this? What else is possible? If you're looking at a pile of change manure, see if you can find the pony inside. There's got to be a pony in there, somewhere or another. You just begin to ask questions. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you enjoy us and come back next week when we'll have Carol Chapman. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.